The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, you lot. We have excellent news.
Have you started listening to Shorthand yet? It's Red-Handed's sexy little sister show hosted by even sexier us.
She's short, at a snappy 20 minutes an episode, but she's smart, covering everything from marine catastrophes like the Byford Dolphin, where an entire diving crew were quite literally liquefied, or what will happen if Yellowstone ever erupts, and how rabies destroys the human brain.
Not to mention our rundown on the Black Death, that Gwyneth Paltrow ski accident that turned into a musical, and lost civilizations like that of Göbekli Tepe, to name just a few topics to get you all excited. And because we love you all so very much, this year, we are going to be releasing 2 episodes of Shorthand every single week into your feed.
You heard that right. And you can thank us later, but you can also thank us now by going immediately to listen to Shorthand and doing so every single week, twice, for free, wherever you get your podcasts. And also, please share those episodes far and wide. Thank you.
Everyone, to Drunk Women Caught Red-Handed. That is the name that we have decided to go with because it's excellent. And it describes exactly what is happening in this situation. If you don't know, it is a mashup between Red-Handed and Drunk Women Solving Crime. What more could you want in your lives? Nothing, probably. So what is this? What's going on? What are you all watching slash listening to? Well, this is a very special bonus brought to you by Acast, who are actually bringing you an exclusive series of bonus podcasts like this from your favorite podcasters for the Red Nose Day podcast mashup. That's right. Red Nose Day is back. And this year it's more powerful than ever because let's face it, we all need a big old laugh right about now. And this laugh can help create change around the country and around the world. No matter what you're able to give, you have the power to make a difference. So if you can, please give now at comicrelief.com/podcast mashup. And we will leave the link in the episode description so that you can find it very easily and have no excuses for not being able to find it. So with that, that's what you're listening to. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hey. Hello.
Should we introduce ourselves? Hi, I'm Saruti from Red Handed.
Hi. Oh, wait, that made it like an AA meeting. Hi, Saruti.
It's the very opposite of an AA. It's a really bad AA
meeting. It is. Failing
it's,
AA.
It's an enablers. Enablers anonymous meeting.
Pre-AA.
So if you're new to Red Handed, I can tell you what we are because I know that one. We are Red Handed, Saruti and I, and we are a true crime podcast that we started in a cupboard under the stairs and somehow managed to still be doing it 3 to 4 years later. And nobody stopped us. And we're super excited to be here with Katie, Taylor Glenn, and another Hannah George. So we're going to have to call her the big HG because HM doesn't really work. And my middle name's Mary, so my initials are
Hannah, my middle name's Mary as well.
Oh my God, 2 Hannah Marys.
Yes, mate. Hannah is an anagram of nah. So that's just something that other Hannah's like. That's my friend Jim Campbell's joke, so I should say that. I was so happy when he told me. I was like, yes.
Niche Hannah material.
I know. We're going to launch our own podcast. It's called Hannah Mary.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
It's so big of you to credit the writer of that little joke. That is, you are a magnanimous HG. Absolutely.
Even in conversation, if I do a joke, I have to go like, that was Sarah Millican's or whatever.
Your that is magnanimous. Must have been amazing. Just credit after credit. Did you like that one? Yeah. Stuart Lee.
Already, I've lost the plot, but when we've lost the plot so much that we've shamelessly stolen your entire format for this mashup, we're not bringing very much to it at all, apart from the stories that you asked us to bring about crimes that have happened to us. Should we kick off with those?
Yes, that's what we only have one question on this podcast, and that is, have you ever been the victim of a crime? Sariti, was it just now where I said I was going to start a podcast with Hannah? Because
yes,
I'm sorry,
that
is bad podcast.
That is theft, HG. You can't just take her away. What is happening? I'm outraged. I did give this a lot of thought, and I have to be honest, in my life, I have not been the victim of many a crime, despite my very best attempts at becoming a victim of crime. Because I don't know, anyone who listens to the show knows that I do love a bit of a hitchhike. I have hitchhiked many a place. I will argue that it's always been a necessity. I have been trapped. I have been on the side of a road in a place I shouldn't, and I had to get in a car or just hang out there.
That's so untrue.
No, it isn't. Tell me one story of my hitchhiking where I had another choice.
When you're in Croatia and you could have got a taxi, number one.
I couldn't. There wasn't any. Anyway, we can't have this argument.
You're
basically
an international hitchhiker too. This is
almost exclusively. Almost exclusively.
I don't hitchhike domestic now. Oh my god.
So passé. Don't hitchhike where you eat or whatever the saying is. Go hitchhike somewhere else where you're in much more danger because you don't know the language or anything that's happening to you. Anyway, despite all of those situations, never been a victim of a crime internationally. But what did happen in quite a plot twist was when I was on holiday, my house was burgled.
Oh.
It was actually my parents' house. So I was on holiday with my parents and we were there for a couple of days. And then we get a call from our neighbor saying, oh, you guys have been burgled. And I was like, oh, that's really shit. So my poor dad had to get on a flight and come home to deal with the burglary. And he got home and I called him and I was like, Dad, what's happened? Have they taken anything? And he's like, it's a very weird thing that's happened. So these people have broken into the house. And my parents live in a very safe, suburban, middle England, nothing town. They had unscrewed all of the shower heads in the house. Yes, gets weirder. Then they had torn up a bunch of floorboards around the house and poured a bunch of bleach around because the house stunk of bleach. And the only thing that they had actually nicked was a briefcase that my dad kept in his wardrobe that had my birth certificate in it.
Oh, no.
That's bonkers.
Isn't it? So I was like, what the bloody hell is going on? And I really wanted to try and understand. So then the police officers came around and like talked to us about it. And I was like, what's the deal? They said there have been a spate of burglaries exactly like this around the area, exclusively to Asian households. And what these burglars have discovered is that for some reason, my Asian brethren around here have been hiding gold jewelry in their floorboards and in their shower heads.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
And I think the whole bleach situation was when they were frantically tearing up these floorboards, I think one of them cut themselves and got blood everywhere and then poured a bunch of bleach around to get rid of the DNA. That's what I think.
Oh,
so mystery.
Interesting.
Wow, that is like a golden shower that I could get behind.
She's off.
Old HG, big HG. Sorry. Carry on. Sorry, Kate.
You can be old and big. Trust me.
But yeah, that is my crime.
The bleach was making me think more of a crime scene, like maybe they did something there. Yeah. Like maybe they didn't just try and rob.
Oh,
maybe they...
That's way worse. I hope it wasn't
that. Yeah, no. But you have the intel that that is not what happened. They were looking for gold.
I They were looking for gold.
I'm glad there was a little bit of a method to the madness. Yeah. And you'd think I would be a little bit more savvy after 3 years of doing this. Like I would have picked up some logic or something. Because I was like, okay, it's probably who hosts Grand Designs. I bet it's him. He went crazy and he's just tired of hosting. And that's literally where my head was. I'm like, it's a disgruntled presenter. I've seen it 1,000 times.
Yeah. And he's just really angry at these rainful shower heads that everyone has now. Let's fucking get this shit out. What the hell are you doing? And these floorboards, they're disgusting.
The other things it makes me think, maybe it was someone that used to live there or somebody and they had left something there, you know, that they wanted to go back for. Oh. But it's solved because you know that they were doing it to loads of people.
This was the theory that was told to us, but I think I prefer yours and I think I'm more scared by yours, Katie. Oh my God, what if it's some sort of like...
It's like panic room.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, I'm scared.
That's a horror film. That's a good horror film.
That is a good horror
device.
Film. Gosh.
And then like you've redecorated the bathroom. There isn't in the shower head anymore.
Oh my God.
My favorite part of that story though is literally when you're on holiday with your mum and your dad and you get the call and you're like, oh my God, dad, I think you're going to have to go. Like you and your mum, like, oh my God, you're just like so like manly and like a protector, I guess. And I think that you should
love
go
it.
Home.
It's such a shame for you.
I know. Me and mum just slowly turn and look at him. We're like, shall I book your flight, dad? And I now have lost a birth certificate as well.
Yeah, what a pain.
That's sad. Just a briefcase with a combination lock that they just ran off with, thinking maybe the gold was in there. No, you could have rattled it around and felt that there was just papers in there.
Maybe that's someone will steal your identity like they steal the dead baby's identity.
I know,
from the library.
This is what I'm thinking. What if somebody steals my identity?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Could they do it with a birth certificate? Because birth certificates, I feel like, they're at the very bottom of the list of ID for like a bank account, aren't they? They're like,
just go in with a birth certificate and nothing else.
I've got my footprints and I know my name. We gotta do some business here, HSBC.
And you don't look like a 30-year-old Indian woman. Why have you got that birth certificate? What's happening? Don't know. But anyway, that's all I've got, guys.
Wow, that's
fantastic,
a great though.
Story.
Because I mean, horrible for like your family.
Yeah, yeah. Especially your dad. But I'm glad it happened. Otherwise, I'd have had nothing for this. So. Swings and roundabouts, really.
Hannah, are you going to be able to top that organised crime?
I don't think so, but mine's definitely more embarrassing for me. So
yes, please.
So I used to be an English teacher in Korea, South Korea, don't panic. And the culture there is like, you, as an English teacher, your job is super easy. You get paid loads of money and you can just like go out drinking all the time. And I am a sesh goblin. So I was out on a Friday night, slave to the sesh, and was walking home from my taxi to my apartment building, which was probably like a 200 meter walk. In those 200 meters, I like world-endingly had to piss. Like it could not wait the extra like 200 meters to my house. So I had to do a street route. I had no option. I had to piss in the street. In the process of my street wee, put my handbag down and then got up, sorted myself, kept walking. I was like, shit, I can't find my handbag. What have I done with it? Oh no, where have I put it? And I was like, I'm too pissed to figure this out. I'm just going to have to figure it out in the morning. The other thing I should say is Korea is so safe. Like stealing is not in their culture at all. Like my friend left their laptop on a bus bench. It was there 3 days later. Like you just, no one's like, you can go to a McDonald's and like leave your phone on the table and no one will touch it. It's just culturally not a thing. So when I came back here, I had to do some relearning. So I go home and it didn't matter that I didn't have my keys because everyone has like keypad combination locks on their doors in Korea. So it was fine. I could get into my house, but I didn't have my bag or my phone. And I wake up in the morning not feeling too hot. And there was a knock on my door and I was like, oh God, like what did I do last night? Like, who is it? Who did I piss off? Like someone going to come and like beat me up? Like what is happening? Opened the door and it was a policeman with my bag.
Wow.
Wow.
So like in Korea as a alien, you have to have your alien residency card on you at all times. It's the law. So, but that did not have my address on it. It had my school's address. So that means on a Sunday, they rang my school. Oh. Like, where is this drunk foreigner? Where does she
Oh no, Did they tell them that we found it next to, well, it had a strong smell of urine. We're not quite sure.
It was slightly damp. We haven't had a chance to test it yet.
Yeah. If they did, they didn't tell me. I just went into school on Monday and not a word was said.
Oh, that's my favourite thing about that culture. Yes, please. Let's ignore anything that's embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. They'll talk about you behind your back for to no fucking end. But to your face, absolutely nothing. I don't need to know. That's fine.
What you talk about snapshot. Me all you want behind my back.
What a snapshot of such a different way of life. I mean, that's unbelievable. I did not see the story going this way, even though you said, like, it's not part of the culture. I'm like, something bad's still going to happen.
Yeah. Bad. Well, somebody. We recently did some research on the homicide rate in South Korea. And guess in what every 100,000 people, how many are murdered in South Korea?
Annually?
Yeah.
One.
Like, can I say half a person? That's weird.
You can say half a person, big HG, that's no problem.
Yeah, 0.5 maybe.
I'm sticking with one.
I'm going to say 7.
It's 0.6.
Oh, I was so close. Oh,
God.
Yeah.
No. Actually, if you round up, it's technically me. No, it's you.
What you'll learn about Katie is she likes to win. And that's what we like about her.
Hey, we play to win. We play to win.
This we also, do, do. Just so we can all be embarrassed. You said this was an embarrassing story, so I'll top it a little bit with my own embarrassment. Jeez. That reminded me, because I'm like, have I ever weed outside, like properly in public, not just like camping? And I was like, of course you have. And that reminded me that my friend in New York said, it sounded like this, so I might as well do the accent. Don't put your bag down if you got to piss on the street. That's my top tip. And I was like, okay, right. what do you do with it though? So you don't get it wet. She's like, put it around your neck, hang it around your neck like a giant fuck off necklace. And so I just had a flashback of the poshest place I've ever had a piss, which was on Park Avenue at 3:30 in the morning with my handbag just around my neck, like bouncing on my boobs as I went. And I clearly remember like a gentleman walking by, like a proper gent. He looked like the Monopoly man. I think he had a top hat. And I was just like, hello, a good sir.
And listener, she married him.
She did not. A pissing outside story is always fun, though.
Anyone got any more?
Oh, endless.
My best one's quite short. I was at, what's that music festival? Love Box, the one that's in like Victoria Park or some shit when we were still allowed outside. I'm just absolutely about to have some sort of internal hemorrhage situation if I do not urinate. Crept into some bushes and weed, emerged with quite a lot of urine all over my black boots that showed quite how wet they were. Yeah, it's not great. And July in a park in London with your feet covered in piss. Even if MIA is on stage, it's still not going to distract you enough.
MIA has seen your shame.
Yes, she has.
I think summer 2020 was very much the summer of the alfresco wee. I had to get very comfortable.
This is true. Because
everything was shut.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a favoured tree in Clissold Park for me. It's got a nice little curtain. There's a frog in there.
Everyone's got their favourite tree. Like, we're all dogs now.
I sometimes go to Clissold Park. I have a sniff. Oh man, I love that our producer was like, you know, guys, keep it tight. We want to keep it tight for this episode. And we're like, who else has pissed outside? Because let's talk about that for a bit, please. I remember I pissed outside. This doesn't really count because I was fishing with my dad when I was about 10. But it's just a lesson in looking where you piss, because I pissed. And
outdoor pissing 101.
Yeah. But I was pissing on a red ant's nest who had then, yeah, I noticed, but I was like, what's crawling up my leg? And it was lots of red ants and they bit me. And I screamed quite a lot and scared the fish away, as my dad said. Bullshit, David.
It was the scapegoat he'd been waiting for. He was happy. I'm surprised with all the like warning videos in the UK that we've talked about, like from the 70s, that they never touched on, like, don't piss on a red ant's nest. You could die. It just feels like something would have been.
It's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They just made us watch endless videos about not playing on the train tracks when we were kids. Where was the advice not to piss on a red ant's nest?
Yeah.
And not pirating VHS.
That too.
Burned into my memory. You wouldn't steal a car. How do you know, Brenda? You don't know.
You don't know me.
Segue time. I think we all know each other a little bit better now. So maybe it's time to move on. Thank you for sharing those stories with us. They were great.
You're very welcome.
Absolutely. Yeah, top drawer stuff. Thank you. Why does my voice sound sarcastic the whole time? I genuinely meant it.
That's the only way we sound. We take it with love, Big H. Yeah. Don't worry.
Americans in particular find us really insincere, but it's my
Taylor, give us a report at the end of the...
yes, I will. I've lived here too long. I'm so jaded.
We'll wear you down like that.
I'm the worst kind of American because I sound completely American still, but I hear another American in the UK and I'm like, oh my God, shut up. Shut up. You're a fool.
So the way we do it on our podcast is that I've got all the details of the crime. You guys know nothing. You know, very harsh, but you know nothing clearly about the crime. And so I'm going to drip feed you some information and ask you some questions, and you're going to flex your detective muscles and we're going to solve this.
Okay.
I've got a pen and paper. I'm ready. I'm flexed.
Oh, when people take notes.
Yeah. We play to win.
Note takers.
This is some serious shit now.
We didn't have a note taker till Jenny Eclair, and then she did our first live show, and she came out with a notepad, like she was into it, and we're like, yes. And we've had very few. We've had very few since.
Yeah, there's a handful of people. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Welcome
Pens to the ready. Guys are the elite members of the force.
That's why we made the pod squad.
Yes.
Yes, I'm going to pretend to write because I don't have I've got you. We're a team. Oh, good. Yeah. That's fine then.
Today, we're in 1870, and we're discussing the crimes of the chocolate cream killer. Now...
Sounds delicious.
Wait until you hear what she did. This killer laced... Oh, fuck! My first question was it a man or a woman?
Yes, she did.
Okay, guys.
It's okay. You know, we took some extra piss time.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
We made up for it with gender quiz.
Yeah, yes. You got a fat on track.
So the chocolate cream killer, who was a lady, she would lace chocolates with poison. But before we get to this stage of her life, this is Christiana Edmonds. Now, Christiana was born in Margate and was the eldest child of William Edmonds, who was an architect. So she had quite a privileged upbringing. Mm-hmm. She was privately educated and led a sort of normalish life for the first 40 years of her life. And then when she was 40... She wanted a change, guys. She moved to Brighton with her widowed mother and started up an affair with a high-standing member of the local community. Now, this guy was known for being a bit of a flirt. Who do you think that could have been?
The main guy. I just moved to Brighton and I'm really keen on the history here, so I'm going to go with the guy.
The main guy.
I don't know anything about Brighton.
That feels vague, Taylor.
The palace building playboy prince. Oh. Which, what's his fucking name?
So the guy who built the pavilions?
Yeah.
I don't know his name either.
Or is this too early? Is this too early for that guy?
I will give you a clue. You don't have to know his exact name. It's a guy within a community.
Oh.
I'm going to go with the mayor.
I was going to say. The mayor. That feels like a good guess. I'm going to say, I don't know enough.
So he's a bit of a flirt.
He's a bit of a flirt.
But he's an upstanding member of the community, is he?
Sure is.
Is he like the churchman?
You were going to say the Pope, man? Weren't you?
I was like, what's the right word? Is it father? Is it vicar? Vicar. The vicar of Brighton.
I was going to guess the vicar as well. Interesting.
Okay. Two for vicar, one for mayor.
I'm going to raise the vicar and say archbishop.
Ooh.
Arch?
Very high standing.
Or it could be some kind of lord of the manor. But actors weren't respected in those days, were they? He couldn't be an upstanding member of the community. I could see, stereotype hat on, actors can be flirty. But he wouldn't be respected in those days.
No. I think it's a something gaudy. Or something political.
Yeah, it's got to be power. Yeah, I'm sticking with mayor.
Duke Bish Prince.
Yeah, Bish Prince.
We've got it covered.
he was a doctor.
That's good, yeah.
And I always say there's nothing better than a flirty doctor. He's not the man you want to be flirty, is he, really?
No, but I can't stand it when doctors have, like, no crack at all. Like, that makes me upset. Like, when it's something really embarrassing and you're like, oh, I'm going to make a joke about how, like, my face looks like the Phantom of the Opera or whatever, and they're like, just flat, giving you absolutely nothing.
I appreciate that. If I'm coming over to, like, you know, get some fucking thrush cream, I don't even want eye contact. Just let's get it done. Give me that canister. Yeah. I want to get out of here, please.
It's not quite the same thing, but I remember going into Boots when I was a teenager in my hometown. And the woman behind the counter, of course, was my friend's mum. And I was like, no, absolutely not. I'm not having that. I'm waiting for someone else to come to the counter.
How did you buy your pregnancy tests?
Well, I went in to buy the very thing that would hopefully stop that happening. So I went in to buy condoms. I can't fucking, like, yeah, 19 guys. But anyway, I was like, I need the, and yeah, and so my friend's mum was at the counter. I was like, I've just got to wait. So I waited, and this woman came out who I had no idea who she was. And I was like, brilliant. So I went up to the counter and she said the immortal line to me. She said, do you want a bag hammer? She knew, oh, I don't know where the fuck she knew me from. But yeah, you're right. You don't necessarily want.
You want a degree of anonymity? I can't say it.
Don't you want to cover up your shame sheets there? Hannah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Daughter of Jill, who lives at 147 Fern Lane.
Hannah Mary George.
Oh, this is becoming a great episode for anyone that wants to steal my identity. So, yes, it was
all
a local doctor.
All they need is your birth certificate.
Yeah. Got the wrong briefcase.
Yeah, he was called Charles Beard. Now, there's some dispute over the nature of their relationship, whether or not they were actually sleeping together.
Was he a beard?
Well, this is the thing. It would be a very literal surname, but...
Ah, okay. Sorry.
But I do like, I like the fact that he's called Dr. Beard, because it just makes me think that everyone's forgotten his name at the surgery. He just knows what
he had to go with it. HG, sorry. Was she married, this killer lady?
No, the killer wasn't married. Charles was married. So he was married to a woman.
Okay.
Mrs. Beard.
Mrs. Beard, indeed.
Mary?
Mary Beard, yeah.
Oh, shit.
She's about that age.
Plot thickens.
We'll never tempt her on if you slag her off. God.
We don't want to ruin that for you guys. Yeah.
Taylor actually said you were 160 years old. It was really helpful. I can't do maths. It might
all
not be that.
All she needs to do is be like, and what have you done with your life? And I'm like, I know.
You're right. You don't have several shows on Channel 4 about the Romans, do you? No, none of us do.
But if I did, you'd watch it because it would be great. It's the guy. It's that guy who...
It's that guy. The Rome. That Pasto guy.
He built something. Probably
Rome.
So people didn't know that they were definitely sleeping together, these two.
Okay.
But there is some proof still exists about whether or not they're more than just friends. So what do you think that was? What physical evidence could still exist now?
That they were more than just friends. Sexy letters.
Sexy letters, okay.
Smart.
Was it the shame sheets? Have they been fossilized, like Taylor suggested?
Yeah.
They, just put it on you.
In amber.
Taylor's fossilized shame sheet.
They found fossilized shame sheet embered next to a mosquito and then a shame sheet in amber.
Jurassic spunk. Taylor, any ideas above and beyond shame sheets?
I think letters is a very good.
Okay.
I'm going to go engraved jewellery.
Good one.
Oh, a photograph of them snogging.
Just hold still for 10 minutes or so while I take this quick photograph of us having a little kiss.
Very, very hard to take a selfie with the size of cameras.
Yeah, or like maybe a photograph of him with his family, but he's wearing a watch that she gave him or something.
Hey. Is it something creepy, like a photograph of his family, but she's cut his wife's face out and drawn her face in?
Yeah.
Oh, we've all done that. Come on. Guys, Hannah, you were right straight away, straight off the bat. Love letters.
Yeah.
It was love letters.
There's one thing I know, it's pastime sex.
The dick pics of this time.
Yeah, just
a romantic letter,
a doodle. Just he's just put it on a piece of paper and traced around it and sent it in the post.
Oh my god, that's what happens if your dick dies. Okay, so, or he's murdered, I suppose. But anyway, the point is, yes, they write each other love letters.
I've done that to a few guys, am I right?
I'm bringing the chalk.
So basically, she was very much into Charles Beard, and so she tries to kill his wife. She thinks, this is how I'm going to get him. So her first victim is Mrs. Beard. Now, Christiana became friends with her, visited her one day, and gave her a box of chocolates that she bought from a local confectioner that she'd laced with poison. Right. What do you think was her poison of choice? Do we know much about the poisonings of this era? Arsenic?
Yeah, I was going to say arsenic.
We've got two for arsenic.
I'd say strychnine to be different.
Strychnine could be different.
I was going to go cyanide, but I don't think it was actually popularised till like World War II. But it kills you quicker than strychnine does.
Sorry. Also, cyanide smells like almonds, which is better in a chocolate, ooh, where arsenic smells like garlic, which is terrible in a chocolate.
That's
good. Yeah, that's better in an omelette. Sorry.
Better in a poisoned omelette.
When I next poison one.
Or a poisoned like a spaghetti.
Yeah. Meals that go with garlic.
I love that.
How to pair your poisons and your poisoning vessel. We should write a cookbook, ladies.
Yes, right? That's got legs.
Murder on a plate.
I love it.
Love it.
Guys, it was strychnine. So that's the garlic one, right?
No, that's the almond one.
No, cyanide is almond.
It's neither.
Arsenic is garlic.
I can't comment on what strychnine tasted like, but I'm pretty sure you could put fucking anything in chocolate and I'll gobble it down. So...
Yeah, that was classic Mrs. Beard. She knew. She was
classic Mrs. Beard. How is she getting it in the chocolate? Is she injecting the bottom? Like, as a kid, I don't know if you ever did this, but sometimes there was no guide for the chocolates. We'd have to flip them upside down, stick my finger in it. I started
savage.
With a, we did that, and then I just went to me because I'm the only one who did it to look at what was inside. So is she like injecting them?
I would have been in so much trouble if I did that, Taylor.
I may have only seen this on a sitcom. Sometimes I'm not sure the difference with my childhood.
No, I was trying to make a joke about
either Full House.
I was always in trouble. It didn't work. Let's move on.
Oh, man. So I don't know exactly how she did it, but all I know that it was strychnine that she got from the local chemist, as they did in the day. What do you think she said to the chemist as to why she needed it?
I don't know, but I bet they said, do you need a bag with that?
Christiana.
Was it thrush?
Oh,
thrush.
I need to murder my thrush.
With the strychnine.
Was it rat poison? I feel like that's the thing, the olden times one.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so plausible that it was probably also for thrush. That's what's really
I mean, exactly. Just burn that shit right out. That'd be fine.
Yeah. And then put it on your eyes to look more beautiful.
It'll brighten your visage, it'll kill your rats, and it'll deal with that thing down
that
there
thing,
that's going on down there.
Yeah.
Welcome to Victorian England.
Yeah, and the rats living inside you.
So, Christiana, she said that it's because she needed it to poison stray cats.
Oh, okay. I was one step down the food chain.
God. Yes. And I kind of read that and I was like, dude, like, just go in on rats. Like, I'd be like, you're lying anyway.
Say you're going to murder a cat or a bunch of cats. Fucking hell.
That's
chill out.
Yeah. And it will draw attention too. But like, yeah, this weird lady wanted to kill some cats. Then she's like, she's on the radar. She's gone too big.
She has gone too big, you're right.
So, Mrs. Beard, she eats one of the chocolates. Does it kill her? Do we think that Christiana has nailed her first murder?
I feel like she doesn't die straight away, at least. I think she's going to survive this. This is going to be like a farcical comedy of errors now, isn't it?
Okay, we've got comedy of errors from Kate.
I have a really dark Forrest Gump sketch going on in my head now.
Yeah, I feel like she didn't like the chocolate, so she didn't eat enough of them. Because I did look it up, and apparently strychnine just has a really bitter taste, which also doesn't pair well. Well, maybe it pairs well with chocolate. I don't know. But maybe it was like one of those yucky, like, liquor chocolates you get at Christmas, and you're just like, ugh. And she didn't eat enough of them, and so she doesn't die. So she has to try again.
She maybe just gets sick.
Mm.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like she's going to survive several attempts in some sort of Kill Bill situation. And eventually Christiana's going to be chasing her across England via train.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got Kill Bill. I like it. I like the idea of the Victorian kind of costume version of that yellow suit. Like, what would that look like?
That's what they need. They need a period drama Kill Bill.
Yes.
Killuff Billuff.
That'd be great.
So apparently, I mean, great research, like, in the moment, because, yeah, she bit into a chocolate, said it tasted bitter, so spat it out, but she did suffer from a violent illness, but she did then recover from it. Now, this is bad for Christiana because, well, basically, Dr. Beard had his suspicions it was her. Did he raise the alarm, do you think?
Oh, well, he doesn't want to get busted for fucking her.
No, I don't think he did.
Oh, how awful.
Yeah.
I want to save your life. I do. But I got my own problems that I've created. Yeah. So sorry.
For myself.
I'm sorry, Mary. I'm sorry, Mary.
I'm too respected. It would destroy the town to know that I'm like a big old fuck man.
I love it. Halfway through that, you were like, remembered he was a doctor. And you're like, okay, man.
Yeah,
hello, Dr. Fuckman's office. he's currently fucking. Oh, no. Yes, he'll call you back after.
Come on. Man. It's like that bit in Breaking Bad, you know, when what's his name is doing heroin with the girlfriend that's Jessica Jones.
Jesse.
And she's choking. Yeah. And like, what's his name? Walt Whitman could put her on. Is it Walt Whitman?
Walter White.
Jesus Christ.
I love it when someone starts a story and they can't remember a single character.
I'm not even drunk. I'm just on painkillers.
Oh my God. I can't believe my mouth was full and I didn't spit it out.
Walt Whitman. To be fair, though, Walt Whitman does feature quite heavily in Breaking Bad.
Oh, right. I mean,
he does.
That's why. I'm clever. But anyway, he could, you know, she's choking and he's trying to steal the money.
And Jesse James is really conflicted because he's on a horse. And
like, he has the choice to save her life or let her die. And his life is so much easier if she dies because she's about to out him to everybody. Yeah. So he just lets her die. And it just feels a bit like that scene.
Yes, it does. It does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, no, he didn't. he did not at all. However, Christiana, she was worried because she was like, okay, so he's not going to drop me in. But if Mrs. Beard works it out and thinks, well, she gave me the chocolates. So Christiana's like, I'm going to cover my tracks here. What do you think she does? Now, this part is bonkers. Just to give you a clue.
So she's trying to cover her tracks.
Yeah, because for a start, she doesn't want Dr. Beard knowing that she tried to poison his
wife.
And also, obviously, she didn't want it all to come out anyway because she would get done for it.
Does she hire a beard and then wear it as a disguise?
Okay, disguising.
I like beards here.
I wonder if she tries to get the rest of the chocolates back.
Yeah.
So there's no evidence.
Oh, nice.
So it's okay. Like, I'm sticking with my comedy of errors. She's like, I need to get the answer phone tape. You cause a distraction. Oh, I'll get the chocolates.
I wondered if she planted it in her home to make it look like, well, it wouldn't be a suicide attempt, but to make it look like, well, she ingested it of her own accident.
Like someone tricked her. So she's a victim, unknowingly passing it on.
Or just that she has it in her house.
In her house,
she sprinkled it. You know, I confused the salt with the strychnine. I'm a terrible cook. I don't know.
That's good. That's her eating it too would be a good way to exonerate herself.
I was going to say, did she poison herself with a little bit of strychnine?
Yeah.
And then say, there's a poisoner on the loose, ladies. Don't eat any chocolates that anyone gives you.
Yeah, and then definitely wasn't me. Down the chocolate shop.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, if she had half the intelligence of you guys, maybe she would just have done that. Intelligence being slightly sinister. I mean, these are good answers, guys.
I mean, does she even know who Walt Whitman is? Because she's an idiot.
Basically, Christiana goes on a poisoning spree. So...
How does that cover her tracks?
It's like the Tylenol people, right? Where they like poisoned. Oh no, maybe. Yeah. who was it that wanted to kill one person, but it would have looked too suspicious, so they poisoned a bunch of other people as well?
Off the scent.
I feel like it's like a housewifey type situation. Very similar to this.
Famous case that I've forgotten. Anyway.
Well, it's very similar to that. Yeah, it's like if loads of people are getting poisoned, then it's not going to look suspicious that the wife of my lover or the man I'm in love with
has been directly connected to that.
Is it like when I have like a proper sharing size bag of Doritos and I've had half of them, but I'm like, oh God, I don't want anybody to know that I've had half. So I have to finish them, get rid of it.
Yes.
Be like, there were never Doritos.
Exactly.
It's that.
What she did is that she bought loads more chocolates from, and this was over a series of sort of weeks and months, from the local confectioner, John Maynard. She laced them with strychnine, took them back to the shop, saying they weren't what she wanted. Over time, she got like children to take them back into the shop for her to make it look less suspicious.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. And then her plan was to frame Maynard. Like, she was just like, she chose this guy because he's like a chocolate guy. Like, literally, he makes chocolates for a living. And like, I think surely people that run sweet shops are nice people. I mean, I don't know. But there was no reason why she would try to...
No motivation to go after him anyway.
To pin it on him other than she couldn't be responsible for it. So she had boxes of chocolate sent under an alias to prominent people in Brighton, including a politician, a newspaper editor, a surgeon. And who else do you think she sent a box of chocolates to?
Herself?
Pavilion guy.
Herself, that guy.
The Queen of England.
Queen of England.
The wife again.
To send it to them again.
That's what she did. She sent it to Mrs. Beard. She sent Mrs. Beard another box of chocolates because it hadn't worked the first time. So basically, Maynard unknowingly sent these poison chocolates and also sold them to anyone who came into the shop.
Yeah.
There was one other thing. Somebody's already guessed it, but let's see if we can go back to it. One other thing Christiana did to properly make sure it looked like it was nothing to do with her.
Oh, she ate some. No.
I mean, yes. Yeah.
I was thinking,
I might open it and see if anybody had. It's always annoying when someone gets the right answer straight away. But well done, Katie. You're completely spot on. Because yes, she sent herself a box of poison chocolates. What do you think she did to make it look like it wasn't from her?
Some elaborate Valentine's poem about how beautiful she is.
Love it.
Picked horrible flavours and then went out into the street and yelled about how she hates orange cream and they were all orange creams.
I would never have bought these. I don't like orange creams. Someone doesn't know me at all.
Did she pull out a hair of someone else that was like the opposite colour hair of her hair and put that in the box?
Do you know what? She quite simply misspelt her name on the front.
Oh, hilarious.
This woman.
Wow.
Which is like, I love that when people do things where you can just see when they get the idea and they're like, oh, yeah. I know what I'll do.
This has just escalated so far from one little murder.
It's absolutely bonkers. And predictably, and this is the very sad part, is that one person died from her poisoning spree.
I'm glad it was only one, though.
Yeah, lots and lots of people got ill across Brighton over this time, but the person that died, which is predictable, unfortunately, it was a kid, so it was a four-year-old. So in 1871, Sidney Albert Barker, on holiday with his family, died as a result of eating the chocolates from Maynard's shop. It is amazing it was only one person that died, but before long it was all in the papers, and eventually Dr. Beard comes forward and says, I think this might be Christiana.
So her brilliant plan didn't put him off the scent with all the random chocolates.
Yeah, if anything, it whiffed even harder to talk like a detective.
And do we know, were they still... I guess you said it's disputed whether they were even having a proper relationship, so we don't know. I'm just so curious, like, were they still seeing each other while this is going on?
Well, there's lots of different sort of versions of events, but the version of event that is the most sort of, like, common one is that basically after she'd done the first chocolates, he broke up with her.
Okay.
And that was what led her to do this.
Okay.
Bloody hell. All this for some Dr. Beard dick. That was it. She killed a kid for that.
Yeah.
I know. It is
crazy.
It is crazy.
I feel like also, I'm like, this doctor's version of events is going to be either no affair took place or, yeah, I immediately broke it off with her once I knew she was trying to kill my wife. Whereas actually the real story might be, yeah, we kept fucking her, but that bit didn't make the history books. He's like, she's crazy. Bitches are crazy. But actually he was like,
I do wonder, yeah.
Gaslighting.
I feel like it's option three.
Yeah, I mean, he turns up in the court case and he does not redeem himself. So
I can't wait.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I can totally picture him rolling off of her like, but you're done with the chocolates, right? I promise.
Basically, and as well, of course, like, he's a doctor, he's a bloke. They have his testimony, so that's almost enough to sort of convict. But they did another thing. They matched Christiana's handwriting to a letter. Now, it wasn't a love letter. What do you think Christiana wrote in a letter during this time that would incriminate her? Not just because she has the same handwriting, but because of what she'd written.
Because she's not going to be daft enough to confess. Like,
and she didn't handwrite these notes.
From Margate, my childhood friend. I've been into ever so much in Brighton.
Dear diary, murdered a kid this morning by mistake. Whoops.
And she didn't write the, chocolate notes to people herself.
Like, oh, and icing.
Just misspelling her name. And I don't know. I'll go with that she wrote out the notes for the chocolate gifts that she was sending. Your secret admirer. It's not poison.
Yeah. Something that she's written that incriminated her because it matched the handwriting on the...
Yeah, and who she was writing to.
Ooh, did she have to sign, not just sign for it, but just because it wasn't always this conventional, like you go in the shop and you buy it, but was she like putting in an order for strychnine and they just happened to get a copy of that?
Ah, okay. Katie, anything to add?
I got nothing.
Well done for starting, though. I love that. Most of my sentences start when I don't know exactly what I'm going to say. So basically, she wrote three letters under three different aliases to Sidney Albert Barker's parents. Basically, she was implicating John Maynard in the crime, saying they should sue him. So she's really going hard down this. It's this guy. It's this guy. And he's had a chocolate shop for 18 years in Brighton. He has no reason to be killing people suddenly. So basically, she was charged with the murder of Sydney and the attempted murder of Emily Beard. Did she plead guilty? What do you think?
No, I think she stuck to it to the end.
She might have tried a cheeky insanity plea.
Cheeky insanity, okay.
I'm going to say she might have pleaded guilty, but be all like, I'm so in love.
Okay, so insanity. Taylor?
It depends.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I wonder how much she was starting to believe her own little story. Like, who is doing this? I got the chocolates too. I ate them. They spelled my name wrong.
Like really delusional. Like, yeah, proper.
My name's not Cristiolo. I'm going to say she pled not guilty.
Well, Hannah, you're spot on. It was a cheeky bit of insanity. She pled insanity. Okay. Yeah.
They always do.
She also was insane from the sounds of this.
I mean, I think it's probably legit, to be fair. Like, at age 20, she was diagnosed with hysteria, but then at the same time, so was every woman.
Yeah, the wandering womb.
Just means she had period pains.
Yeah, so I almost thought, I'm not even going to include it because I just think that if I told you that at the beginning...
Another woman with a uterus.
Better orgasm her better. Quick.
Yeah.
Does not exist anymore. I've asked for it.
Can't get that on the NHS.
I thought you said you had a flirty doctor.
She was trying. That does mean she could have had some kind of childhood trauma that she obviously hasn't been cured from.
Basically, like, her dad, who was the architect, like, he ended up in an asylum. Her brother was in an asylum.
Okay.
So there's a history of mental illness within their family. Yeah. And, you know, so at the court case, they were kind of, her mother went and took the stand and said, look, you know, I think this is true. But some of the love letters were read out in court, and she'd signed them from Dorothea and wrote some of the words in Spanish. They said that she'd lost touch with reality due to the strength of her infatuation with Dr. Beard. Which, I mean, who said that? Who had, anyway? Dr. Beard testified, like I promised you, and he said that he'd never had sex with Christiana and that they'd never had more than a flirtation.
And
conveniently,
it was just blowjobs. Go on, sorry.
Yeah. I love that Katie's like, yeah, we flirted. It was a BJ. That is a big flirt. I love it. But yeah, conveniently, all of his letters to her had been burnt and did not exist. And he dismissed her love letters to him as the product of a woman obsessed. Do we believe him?
Well, who had possession of the letters to him? Did he have those letters or did she have?
Well, it sort of stands to reason that she'd have them, but I think maybe he was covering his own back by either telling her to get rid of them immediately, mm-hmm. or he asked for them back or something before the court case.
Mm-hmm. This is what infuriates me, is what the hell really happened, you know? Yeah. Like, you just, like, obviously she's doing things that I do not approve of. I'm going to make that very clear. But you just don't know what kind of gaslighting is going on in the background. And, like, I guarantee he was more involved than history is telling us. And who knows? Like, who knows? Yeah. He might have been complicit in it. Like, he might have told her. Who knows how to inject something better than a doctor? He put the strychnine in the chocolate in the first place.
You're right.
I'm
sold.
I mean, there's an element that the possibility that she could actually have been vulnerable.
Yeah.
If she's got this history of unresolved trauma and stuff. I don't know.
We can excuse.
Yeah, we always try and excuse the women and blame them on the
women.
Absolutely. She killed a kid. She poisoned many people. But I think we need to take a look at him.
Yeah, it was a nice doctor's fault.
When you put it like that, it does sound.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, you go.
Female workplace. So we're at the end of our story now. Do you think the jury convicted her?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. She killed a kid.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. They sentenced her to death. But in the end, death, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Murder, man, in 1870. So then she said she was pregnant, and then they examined her, and they were like, you're not pregnant. And she was like, but I'm insane. And they were like, yeah, you're insane. I'm paraphrasing what actually happened.
Get the memo, I'm insane.
So, yeah, they did eventually declare that she was insane, and she spent the rest of her life in Broadmoor Criminal
Legal. Oh, no.
She died there in 1907 at the age of 79.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And the reason that I found this case was that I was watching, it was like a Channel 5 documentary that had come on after Wild with Ben Fogle, which is
excellent.
And I was just like, oh, we'll leave it on. Like, oh, she murdered a child. Okay. And then I thought, I know who I'll share this with.
Wait, that was excellent.
Yeah. That's an amazing story. What year did she die? Sorry.
1907,
okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Imagine Broadmoor at that time. Oh, my God.
I don't want to.
Yes.
When people survive in that setting for so long, it fascinates me. Not that you can, like, choose.
It's because they are insane, though. If you're going to survive in there, then...
I think it would be a lot easier to be insane.
Yeah, because you're probably maybe doing better in there than poisoning a bunch of people with strychnine on the outside, maybe. God, that was really good, though. That was excellent.
Hey, yeah. Hey,
big and old.
She showed no remorse for her crimes. And that's it. So let's hear it for, I guess, chocolates. Cheers, girls.
Cheers. Unpoisoned chocolates.
And to our future cookbook, Pairing Your Poisons.
appropriately. Smiley face.
Genuinely think we should probably do that.
I think that would be the funniest thing ever. Let's do it.
At the end of Drunk Women Solve a Crime, we always do a listener crime. And I believe, red-handed, you guys have bought us a listener crime.
We do have a listener crime for you. Oh, my gosh. So, basically, we asked our patrons to tell us their listener crimes. And we got about 400 replies.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, I don't know how to get through all of these. So, I just sort of...
give them to us. We'll do them on our podcast.
You can have all of them. There are so many.
Oh, yeah, we literally will.
And I actually was like, there are three really good ones. And Amanda was like, no, there's time for one. And that's very fair because we have to be strict. So this was the best one that we thought that made me laugh the hardest. So this is from a young man. Or this is from a man. I don't know if he's young or whatever. Named Edward Hearn. And
he sounds young. He sounds,
sounds like a young man's name. And it's very simple. It's in one sentence. He says, my dad was a victim of credit card fraud. The fraudster used the card to buy two things, to book a 5-star hotel in Vegas and buy a whole full page slot of advertisement in a magazine dedicated to ballet. Who is this person?
Wow. That's so random.
That's great.
Just two things. Who goes to Vegas and takes out ad space? A full page,
no less.
That's
a crazy Venn diagram because I normally wouldn't put those together.
Oh my God. So this guy has already stolen a credit card. You know, he's obviously not a great guy. I love the idea that, Av just says, like, ballet sucks.
You're wasting your life, Twinkle Toes. Go back to school.
Play English. And then he went to Vegas to celebrate.
Yeah.
Maybe he got turned down by a ballerina. And he's furious. So he takes out a ballet sucks advert and then he goes to Vegas to celebrate, possibly.
That's great.
Vendetta.
I really like that.
Vendetta story. The classic revenge tale.
Yes.
Maybe they were an aspiring ballerina and their dad told them they couldn't do it. And then they ran away and did it anyway. And they bought the ad space to be like, see, dad, I always do it. And then they had to go to Vegas to do their residency.
Yeah, so they could have been advertising their own ballet show in Vegas and then just staying in a 5-star hotel.
Exactly. Yep.
And then they send pictures of their sold-out ballet show to their dad to be like, look, dad, it sold out organically. I didn't spend a whole load of money on a full-page ballet spread.
I totally think we've legit cracked it. Like, I can't wait to hear from this guy. He's like, oh, my God, I actually had the answer and I was withholding it. Because I know what it's like. This smacks of like a first Edinburgh show. It's like, you're not jaded yet. Like, nobody has shat on your picnic. So you're like, I'm going to spend all my budget on a great bit of accommodation and a huge ad.
I want to enjoy it when I get in after my show.
Yeah. Like, the show was called Spin. And then he realized, like, oh, I can't do On Point at all. I don't know.
He should have spent that money on flyers.
Yes. It was a bad decision.
Yeah.
I do always find it interesting what people do when they steal someone's credit card or their identity. I always find magazines fascinating. Like, there's a ballet magazine? That seems crazy.
Apparently so. And you can take out a full page ad. So there you go.
And it's important to support the arts, especially now. So if there's any credit card thieves listening to the podcast, do take out ad space.
In niche magazines. Yes. In niche arts magazines.
We really
full
need
page. Because it's not your money.
Yeah.
That would be such a funny thing, if there were any fraudsters out there that are stealing credit card details on the regular.
Like an arts and culture Robin Hood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. What's the first thing that you would buy, though? Let's say that it was morally fine to steal somebody's credit card. What are you going to buy?
So I've been trying to buy a sofa recently, and the one that I would like is very expensive and feels like an unnecessary amount of money to spend on a sofa. So I'd probably just buy that and not worry about it.
Free sofa.
Well, I felt that recently. I bought a new office chair for like where I sit and I work, and it was quite expensive for me. And I was like, and I toyed with it for 6 months before I actually bought it. And my advice to you is just fucking buy it. Steal a credit card tomorrow.
Treat yourself.
Because you deserve that sofa.
I mean, this is the prologue of the Pairing with Poison book, basically. It's like, and also, for happiness.
Steal for sofas. Yes.
We're going to need a legal team before we get a publisher. I'm just throwing that out there.
I agree. Let's do that ASAP.
We're just going to put some stuff in quotes, that's all. But it's a good idea. Air quotes.
Gets you out of everything.
And then cite it to someone else. Then they can't sue you.
Right. Smart.
Nice. You came for the true crime and you leave him for the...
That's another crime. Life hack.
That's another life hack. Well, I've been spelling my own name wrong on scripts for years.
Well, what can I say? Edward, I really hope that's helped. I'm pretty sure it probably has. And I guess all that leaves for us to do is to wrap this up.
Oh, I have to read the comic relief thing, is going to be a riot of laughs because I'm really bad at reading out loud and I'm also quite drunk now. So we'll see how this goes. Okay. Red Nose Day aims to bring the UK together, although we may be apart, to show just how powerful humour can be through the toughest of times. It has never felt more important to raise smiles and money for those who are struggling more than ever, as the continued impact of COVID-19 brings unprecedented challenges to many. Money raised by Red Nose Day will help vulnerable people in the UK and around the world. So please, if you're able, give now at comicrelief.com/podcast mashup or text comic to 70205 to donate £5 now. Texts cost your donation amount plus your standard network message charge, and 100% of your donation will go to Comic Relief as a registered charity. You must be 16 years or older, so please ask your bill payer's permission. For full terms and conditions, visit comicrelief.com/podcast mashup. I did it. Let's go.
Hooray. Yay.
That was excellent.
So I guess we should just sign off the episode saying, I mean, steal a credit card, guys. Get that money to Comic Relief is what I'm saying, because they need it. And this has been such a pleasure. We're going to start a pod squad.
Yes.
Which is just us being friends now, because it's been so much fun.
I'm so excited. And then we're going to write the Pairing Poisons book and do all of this stuff. It's going to be so much fun.
So this has been Drunk Women Caught Red-Handed. Yay! Yay!
Sort of sounds like a porno, but I feel like that'll bring him in.
Let's do it.